Father, we worship you.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for not only the voices of the people, but the angels that joined us today to worship and to praise. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. We welcome you. We need you desperately. Live among us. Live in us. Live through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you just love to worship the Lord? I do. It's the way I start my day. Every day I get up and I worship, put on worship music and just get in His presence and then listen for His voice and get into intercession, dealing with things that He's dealing with, speaking on the earth, and just wave after wave of His presence going through. And God loves to live among us with Adam. Said He came every evening in the cool of the day just to be with Adam and Eve. And He enjoyed that. And He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. So I'm just hearing all these wonderful testimonies. And so I just want to encourage you. Keep calling on the Lord. We serve a living God. And just believe, call. He loves to hear from you. He loves to hear and answer your prayers. And He does it in many ways. So we're hearing a lot of different things. But God, in some cases, actually has to create for us. He can speak and make something out of nothing. In the beginning, God created. The Hebrew word there is bara. And it means God made something out of nothing. And there are times that we have to call on God, and He actually makes something out of nothing. He made us to be a new creation. He couldn't just fix us, because we weren't fixable. He had to make us to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for instance, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm hearing of all these testimonies of all things becoming new. People are calling. Yeah. But sometimes, like I said, God has to just start in and make something brand new. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 15. "For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by our works. It's not by anything, but by a new creation.
Amen. That's right.
Bara. And if you feel that things are just not fitting like they ought to, call on God, who is also creating. He can. I was talking with a Baptist minister one time. I was talking to him about miracles. And he said, "I don't believe in miracles." I went, "Okay." He said, "Fact is, I don't believe in miracles to such an extent that if my leg was cut off at my knee and you prayed and my leg grew out and a foot grew on it and toes grew on it, I still wouldn't believe." I said, "Boy, you can't beat that for unbelief. That's the best unbelief I've heard of." He was a good unbeliever. But the fact is, God does it. Hallelujah. God can make something out of nothing. Even with our heart, we need creation. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew." We'll get into renewal later. that renew a right spirit within me. Create in me. So sometimes we need that creation power, that we get bogged down and our sin has done damage to us. That God can restore anything. God's in the restoration business. God's in the business of revival. He's in the business of refreshing and renewing. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I find for myself, the cleaner I get, the more I realize I need to be cleaned. The more I spend time in the Spirit, and God's doing that work in me, then more spots. I remember I was ministering in Quincy, Illinois, and there was this black lady that came to the meeting, and she had times that she just lost her temper. And so I said, well, you want me to pray for you? Well, yeah. And so I prayed for her. And when I went back a month later, she said, boy, that really worked. You know. So I want you to pray again, and I want you to pray that God will take everything away. And I said, well, he didn't do that. We used to raise chickens. If you ever butchered a laying hen, there'll be a big egg in there that's ready for the next day. It'll be a soft shell, but then there'll be a smaller one and a smaller one and a smaller one. I said, when God takes care of the big sin, then there's another one, and it's coming up, and he'll take care of it. Don't worry about it till God's worried about it. And then God'll take care of that. He won't take care of all of it at one time, because we don't know, you know, what's bad until we get the bad out of the way. See, you understand what I'm saying? So he's cleansing us. He's purging us, creating me a clean heart. So going to God every day, you know, I do. Creating me a clean heart, oh God, because I know the cleaner I am, the better the Spirit can flow through me for the benefit of others. Yeah. Back when I had the Truth for Youth House, people would come, you know, be born again, and they want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'd lay hands on them and pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But see, I loved archery. I was really good at it. I could hit about anything. It was something that I just had to think about a lot. You know, I figure about trajectory, arrows, pounds of bow, you know, all of these things. And so I'd lay hands on people for the baptism and the Holy Spirit, and they'd speak in tongues, and boy, they're really going to go now. And they'd go out and buy archery. I thought, uh-oh, my pollution is coming through. Yes, they're getting the baptism and the Holy Spirit, but they're also picking up on my pollution. You understand what I'm saying? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. See? Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous Spirit. Restore to me. We need restoration. There was a time when you probably had more joy, and of course the word restore means that there was a time when things were better than they are now. Right? Isn't that kind of what the word means? Restore. That I can remember when things were better. But as with David, King David, he allowed sin to come into his life, took the joy out. And now he's saying, restore to me. Well, praise God, he does. He restores the joy of our salvation. He brings us back into that joy. And, you know, the kingdom of God, that is not meat and drink, but what is it? Righteousness, which is relationships, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If I wasn't going to church somewhere, and I was going to look for a church, what would I look for? What would be the elements I would be wanting to find in a church? Well, I would want to find a church that had righteousness. In other words, relationships were right. There was peace. And there was joy. I think for the church, we need to say, restore the joy of our salvation. Because that's what's going to cause other people to take notice if they see the joy. Fact is, I've been in churches where they sang, joy, 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 and my heart is ringing, joy, joy, joy. Now, Jesus keeps me singing. They could sing the song, but there was no joy. The joy comes from pleasing God. When we do things that please God, it's the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength. It's the joy. It's His joy in us. See, comes by the Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, all those things by the fruit of the Spirit. See, so restore to me the joy. Restore. Restore, restore. So there's the re and also the store in the word restore. Right? In other words, there is a place to go get it. But you do have to go to the store if you want to get it. Hallelujah. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I need the renewing of the Holy Spirit every day. It's kind of like manna. The leftovers aren't all that good. I like to get in His presence and have that renewing of the Holy Spirit every day. And by the way, when the renewing of the Spirit comes, the renewing of the joy comes with it. Psalm 23, verse 3, you're very familiar with. He restores my soul. All of you, at one time or another, have had soul damage. Things have hurt you, and things have wounded you, and even things that you've done, what people have done to you, it messes up our soul. And so, like King David, I have to pray, restore my soul. He restores my soul. Now, 3 John 2 says, I would that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And sometimes the things that are going wrong in our finances and in our bodies are the direct result of our soul getting messed up. In other words, if you hold resentments and things like that, that you can do damage to your soul. And then you have to go back to God and say, I need you to restore me. And first thing he'll say is, well, first thing you have to do is forgive the people that hurt you. And so we do, and that's a part of the renewing. And he'll guide you on through the restoration process. But we have to guard our souls. not only to just receive more and more of God, but our souls. Those of you that work with computers, if you get a virus in your computer, then it really doesn't matter how good of information you put into it, you're going to get bad information out, or it'll just lock up. And there are times that people just lock up. I mean, they can't proceed with life. And our soul is like that. A guy asked me the other day, a minister, he said, well, what is the soul? I said, well, it's like the processor in a computer. It is neither good or evil. But it processes, if it's sin in the world, that sin has to get in to you somehow. And if it gets into your soul, then it can affect your spirit. But if God comes and he touches your spirit, it moves through your soul and changes your whole life. That's all. It's a processor. So it processes both good and evil. Went on vacation. I wish I hadn't. And the resort where we stayed has normally been nice, you know, but the spirit was horrible. And the people, not the people that, you know, worked there or owned it, they were wonderful, but just the people staying there were obnoxious, and it was just a bad, bad spirit. And they were starting to get to me. And I'd go down to the beach, and beach chairs, the wood things down there, and I'd go down early in the morning, take my coffee, and just talk to the Lord. And I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. This is just horrible, the spirit of this place. I said, I need help. I look off to the left, and there's this black lady dressed in black, and she's coming down, and she walks right in front of me, and she is praying in tongues, and she is just glowing. Her face was aglow with the glory of God, and you could actually feel her coming. I think she was a real person, but I don't know. She might have been an angel. But it was exactly what I needed to restore my soul. It was just perfect timing. I had no more than ask, and here she came. Yeah. And then she walked down that way a ways and disappeared. But I need, because of the pollution of the world, I need my soul to be restored on a daily basis. Bill at the truck stops. Yeah. Yeah. And all of us, we run into it everywhere. You can't run away from it. But when we get out of it, I'm going to do a little side teaching here. When I had the Truth for Youth House, I was training people for ministry and so forth. And we would go to this park that was horrible. The spirit of it was just horrible. And the ladies, the girls wouldn't dress properly. And there was rock music going on. There were Satan worshipers. All the, you know. And it really would vex your soul. Remember, Noah said, this is vexing my soul. You know, this whole thing just vexing me. But they would go, and they would try to go and observe, or just go and be there. And I said, you can't do that. You can go into those situations and circumstances, but only if you're going to be on the offense. In other words, you're going there and you are presenting the gospel, take charge, take control, and then you can change them rather than them change you. See? But we can only do that if we personally are edified, built up in the Spirit, in the Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we can go into those situations, which we did all the time. And we made a difference. But don't go and just, oh my, this is bad. That we have to be on the offense if you're going to be in that kind of situation. Little sideline there. Okay. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now we said the kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, the Bible definition of righteousness, is meeting the demands of a relationship. Okay? So God did that through Jesus Christ. We were out of sorts with God, and there was no way to be restored. Righteousness could not be restored. And so he came and he met the demands of the relationship, all from his side, none of it from our side. You understand that? Okay? But then there is righteousness in the scriptures that is plural. The righteous deeds of the people is, so we would call it righteousnessness, which isn't a word, but I just made it up. But I put the plural onto it, which means husbands, love your wives. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a, see, we can't determine who our neighbor is going to be. But as soon as they move in, we have an obligation to love them. We can't. Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, I don't go around picking out enemies. That's their decision. If they want to be my enemy. But as soon as they choose to be my enemy, I have an obligation to love them, to do good for them, to pray for them. It's my obligation. See, that's righteousness. That's righteousnessness. So doing for them what God did for us. Basically is what we're saying there. And so, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. I live in a condo, so I have neighbors coming and going all the time. And people move in, people move out. But people have learned that they can call me. Wayne, can you fix this? Would you do this? And like I told you several times, they call me to do things I have no idea how to do. I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. But then I have to ask God, how do I do this? And he actually shows me, because he loves righteousness. He loves for me to help my neighbor, to love my neighbor. So I end up doing things I can't do. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things. I can do all things. Hallelujah. We did 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says it this way, for I will restore health to you. You know, when the Hebrew children came out of Egypt, and they went through some things, and serpents biting them, and all kinds of things. But after they got into the promised land, they remained in perfect health for 400 years. But God told them, now don't leave me. Don't forsake me. You probably will. When you get among those other gods, you'll probably end up worshiping them. Well, they did. And of course, then their health all deteriorated. And so he is saying here, you're coming back to me. You're coming back to me. Therefore, I will restore your health. I'm going to bring you back to that place where you will have not just healing, but health. Hallelujah. And God's doing that, by the way. Keep drawing near to God and watch Him restore your health. Hallelujah. Mark 8:25. Then he put his hands on his eyes, the blind man, again, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. He was restored and he saw. Restored means that he originally could see, but then he couldn't see. And then he prayed for him and laid his hands on him, and he could see. So God can restore you. Whatever needs to be restored. Hallelujah. And by the way, I'm throwing little side things in here. They were asking me last night, and they had heard that if you pray for someone twice, that the second prayer is unbelief. Have you ever heard that? No, you're only supposed to pray once. Pray after that, then you didn't believe your first prayer was answered. I said, well, they should have told Jesus. Yeah. It'd have been helpful to Jesus if they would have told him, because this man, he prayed for him once. He said, now, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Laid hands on him again, second time. He said, now I see all things clearly. Hey, it was good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. But Jesus is the one that told me about the judge who didn't want to listen to the woman. But the woman kept asking. And because she kept asking, she got what she wanted. I would suggest that we stay at it. Keep asking and keep asking. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Matthew 12:13 is about the man that had the withered hand. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. God is in restoration business. Joel 2:25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you. Here again, the people had gone away from God, deserted God, and they quit calling upon Him. And all of these things came in. When they repented, which is a word people don't want to hear anymore, but I repent constantly. I think it's necessary to keep a clean heart and a restored soul to continually be in repentance before the Lord. And so when they repented, He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to restore to you. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? Have you ever been cheated? Have you things gone wrong? He said, come back to me. Call on me. Come back. And I will restore everything. I'll restore your finances. I'll restore your health. I'll restore everything that they ate up. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, Jesus said, John 10:10. But I am come that you might have life and have it in abundance to the Amen. Full till it overflows.
Thank you, Lord.
More than enough.
Yes.
More than enough.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Acts 3, verses 19 through 21. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Where does it come from? The presence. It comes from the store. It comes from the storehouse. Hallelujah. Amen. From the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Now there are the naysayers who say, well, that's not going to happen till the millennium. He will restore all things. Nonsense. God will restore it when you say it is to be restored. When you call on the name of the Lord. Don't just sit around and say, well, it's just getting worse and worse. I hope I can endure to the end. I just hope I make it. No. Attack. 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 It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. That's an old song. I came to fight. And I'm going to win. And I'm going to fight for the restoration of all things. Hallelujah. Praise God for the Christians that are showing up and helping righteousness. Helping the neighbors. And they're, you see them on TV. I couldn't have done it. But all my neighbors showed up and helped me restore my house. Tear out the carpet. Throw out the furniture. Stay with them to get it all until it's all restored back again. Hallelujah. Okay, in Job 33:26, and he will delight in him, he shall see his face with joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. Turning to the Lord, and then the Lord restores righteousness. Hallelujah. How would you like to live the very best life possible? Listen to God and love people. Listen to God and help people. Love people. Do for people. Do for others. That's one of the things that's going on in my life. Is I'm getting rid of more and more and more things. It just feels like a heavy weight. And so I'm selling stuff, I'm giving stuff away, taking stuff to the thrift store, but I'm getting rid of all I want left for my next 40 years that I'm going to be ministering is to love people. To do for others. The reason why is I found it's the best life possible. Oh, yeah. Amen. Giving, serving, doing for others is the best life possible. I'm watching, of course, with these hurricanes in Springfield, Missouri, we have Convoy of Hope they take truckloads of stuff and they actually send the trucks out before the disaster even happens. And here's all of these Christians and they're just serving. They give up everything, work or anything else, to get in there and volunteer and help. And they're just grinning from ear to ear. That's living. Yeah, that's because they're serving. Hallelujah. Okay, Romans 5:16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. We all know about that. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification, just as if you had never sinned. Hallelujah. A new start. A new start. There are times when we get bogged down. Christians get bogged down. Pastors get bogged down. And they need a new start. That's justification. Call upon the Lord and let him work righteousness and justification. Hallelujah. In verse 18, Romans 5, 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Hallelujah. Amen. Through one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let God restore you. Let God revive you. We used to sing the old song, the old hymn, revive us again.
Yes.
Revive us again. Now, we used to have, years ago, we used to have revivals.
Yes.
And I think we need to have revivals again. We need to be revived as the body of Christ. We need to feel the presence of God and feel Him changing and working in us. We need altar calls and go to the altar where we can do business with God and repent and do, you know, the things that need to be done so that God can work that work through us, so that we can not only be right with God, but right with people, and that we can serve people, we can love people. Amen?
Amen.
Got it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together.